2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. Elijah has been translated into glory. He's gone up with tremendous evidence of God's power and vindication. Gone up in a chariot with horses of fire and so on. Now, in the previous discourse, I tried to say something on the wrong attitude toward this. The prophets looking back, clinging to the past, can hardly let it go. That's the wrong attitude. Now the right attitude, and I believe Elisha shows it. Elisha saw Elijah's translation. He saw the ascension of this man into glory. My father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel, verse 12. And Elisha saw him no more. And the first reaction of this man is grief. He took hold of his own clothes and he tore them apart. He felt the loss of this man. Now, this is a necessary point here. Too many Christians think that they must show no grief. They're Stoics, the stiff upper lip. My friend, bereavement, separation, death, this is a remarkable experience here, but bereavement in itself is a great separation and a tremendous cause of sorrow. Some of us have felt it. Some of you will yet to feel it. Someone very close to you, gone. And that's the end in this life. And Elisha feels it, and he grieves. He tears his clothes and rips them apart. This is a mark of his grief and anguish. He's lost his friend, he's lost his mentor, he's lost the prophet. And it all comes overwhelming to him and whelms over him. And he feels the loss and he expresses it. But he does not stay there. Verse 13. He picks up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah. He picks it up and I can see him twisting it in his hands as he walks. And he walks back where? To the Jordan. He has to cross the Jordan. Here is the first great test. And he takes the cloak. I can see it rolled in his hands there, and he lifts, and I can see him smiting the water, the Jordan, and he struck the water with it, and hear him cry out, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, crying out to God. He's praying here, isn't he? He's trusting. He's looking to God. His great burden has been, "You're going, Elijah. But I need your spirit. I need the spirit of God. I need your power. I want a double portion. I have to face the kings. I have to face the wicked rulers. I have to face Israel. I have to face the false prophets. How can I do it? How can I do it? I need the power of your spirit." Your spirit, God's spirit, that is. And here the cloak, the symbol of that power, the mantle, is on the ground there, and he picks it up. And he uses it. You see, he's grieving over the death of Elisha. But he's not staying there. He's going on. He's facing his first test. And he puts the mantle, the cloak, to the test, as it were. He doesn't idolize the mantle. He doesn't make it an icon. He doesn't make it a relic. It's not an object of pilgrimage. It's going to be an object of use. He'll wear it out. He'll smack the water with it. And he will go on. He won't live in the past. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Not where is Elijah, but where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where now, at this moment, for me? You see, you get this in Acts 1. Jesus says to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, but don't start until I tell you. Wait, wait, wait in Jerusalem until you get power. And when power comes upon you, the power of the Spirit," Acts 2, Then go. And of course, in Acts 2, Peter couldn't do anything else but stand and preach to the conversion of thousands. You see, this is what we need, brother and sister. We don't need Elijahs. We need the God of Elijah. You see, there are believers who think very highly of the Puritans. Well, rightly so. They think very highly of George Whitefield and Spurgeon and Martin Lloyd-Jones. Oh, yes. And what they need and what they think they need and they collect is their volumes, their works, their leather tomes, and they have shelves heaving with these works. We don't need the works of these men. I'm not saying we don't, but what I mean is we need the God of these men. We don't need their books. We do. I'm not saying a word against that. What we really need, though, is the God of these books, the power that these men had. You see, the point I'm trying to make is not Elijah. It's the God of Elijah. And see, the prophets were living in the past, but Elijah is not. He says to them, I told you not to go. I said it was a waste of time. Didn't I tell you not to go, verse 18? But they went looking for Elijah. You see, this man is not walking backwards to the future. He's going forwards to the future. I say the great need is God's power and spirit. It was for Elisha. It is for me, my friend. It is for you in our work for Christ. It's not where is Elijah, where is Lloyd-Jones, where is Spurgeon, where is this, where is that. It's where is the God of these men. This man is not just staying in the past, treasuring the mantle, holding to the memory, looking at the photograph album, repeating the former stories, telling it all over again. No, he's going on. He crosses the Jordan. And he's going on for God. He can't go without God. He can't go without this mantle, as it were, but he's not going to trust in it. It's the God of the mantle. It's the God of Elijah. He's on by faith, this man. And he's on by power and in power. Oh, brother and sister, I say this to my own encouragement, my own challenge. There is yet time, even in my late years, to see some tremendous evidence of power. I cannot go on without it. We can just talk and we can write, but it'd be utterly ineffective unless God by his Spirit blesses his word through us. This is what we need. Elisha has the right spirit. It's forward, forward, forward be our watchword. But it's forward with God, forward with the power of God. And may he come and give us this power. And may he come and give us this success, not for our sakes, not for our name, Lord, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory. I'll close this discourse with Berridge's hymn. I've already read it on a previous occasion. Here's the hymn. I make one small change. Send help, O Lord, we pray, and thine own gospel bless, for godly men decay, and faithful preachers cease. The righteous are removed home. Oh, send more laborers in their room. O Lord, stir up thy power to make the gospel spread, and thrust out preachers more, through him to raise the dead, with feet to run where thou dost call, with faith to fight and conquer all. The flocks that long have dwelt around thy fruitful hill, and thy rich grace have felt, uphold and feed them still, but fresh folds build up everywhere, and plenteously thy truth declare. As one Elijah dies, true prophet of the Lord, let some Elisha rise to preach the gospel word. And fast as sheep to Jesus go, may lambs recruit his folds below. The final word shall be Elisha's. This is what he said. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? May God show where he is. May he show it, brother and sister, through our labors for him. May he show he's still the same God, the God of Elijah, the God of Pentecost, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit. Amen.